This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm really delighted to be joined by Haley Smith, who's a singer and songwriter based in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Then later on in the show, we'll meet Claire Chen of Glow Up Moms, who's going to tell us all about an exciting event that's happening tonight. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Haley Smith. So I saw Haley perform last year for the 30th anniversary of Honey Jam at Massey Hall. And I was absolutely blown away by her performance. And I reached out to vocal coach to the stars, Elaine Overholt, to find out more about her. And she connected us. And I'm so delighted to have Haley here on the show today. So thanks, Elaine, for that. And before we meet Haley Smith, let me tell you a little bit more about her. Haley Smith is a veteran performer and singer who's the youngest sibling of the extraordinary, very musical Smith family that includes producer and sister Renee, as well as noted drummer extraordinaire JR. She is part of one of the most recorded background vocalists and session singers in Atlantic Canada. Pretty cool. Haley started her musical journey at the delicate age of 4 years old, where she had her first singing memory in her home church, the St. Thomas Baptist Church. She's opened for numerous artists and has also expanded her horizons on songwriting. At the tender age of 8, she then took her talents a step further by being cast in Neptune Theatre's production of the unforgettable classic A Christmas Carol, where she had her musical theatre debut. And since then, Haley's been part of numerous musicals, such as Coal Harbour High's 2016 production of Annie, where she played Annie, also their 2017 production of Sister Act, to name a few. She's opened for Grammy Award winner Lisa Fisher, Anderson .Paak at the Halifax Jazz Festival, and Deadmau5. She has performed at the Honey Jam concert at Mod Club in Toronto, Riverfront Jubilee in Halifax, Pop Explosion in Nova Scotia, and the PEI Jazz and Blues Festival with her sister, Renee Smith. Fresh off a career-changing performance at the most recent ECMA, and for those of you who don't know, that's the East Coast Music Awards, where she debuted 4 songs from her forthcoming project, including her debut single, Fall in Love, and we'll hear some of that in this show today. She's performed extensively all around the Halifax area for such events as the Halifax Jazz Festival and in live performances with David Miles, Joel Plaskett, and many others. Her credits include Renee Smith's I Am Renee, Joel Plaskett's 44, and 2 songs on separate albums by David Miles. And recently, Haley has been focusing on virtual collabs and performing, including a recent performance for the Nova Scotia Symphony. Haley Smith, congratulations on all of this and welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm expecting to find my bliss as well today.
Well, I hope I don't disappoint. We're usually pretty good at doing that. Haley, when you sang the gospel hymn, His Eye is on the Sparrow, well, first of all, there wasn't a dry eye in the house last year at Massey Hall, and we were literally on the edge of our seats. Like, I was just so blown away by that performance of yours. I can even remember, I think you were wearing sort of a peachy coral top, right? And white pants, and you looked beautiful, and you just killed it. Like, you really tore the roof off the theater. You. Can you tell us what made you choose that song and set it up for us?
Okay, so before that, Honey Jam, I'm an alum of Honey Jam. So I had performed, I can't even remember which year I performed, but gospel is my roots, as it says in my bio. I'm a little Baptist girl. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher and singer as well. And even though I ventured off once I started my music career and I do R&B music, gospel is still the root of my heart. And it's also the root of the foundation where my music still grows from. And so I had talks with Ebony. Shout out to Ebony, because what she's created is absolutely incredible.
I agree. She's been on this show a number of times. Oh, she is the bomb.
Insane.
And this was the culmination of this 30 years. And it was just, you had to be there. Like, I said to the person I was with, I just wish that everyone in the world knew about this concert tonight. And
it's crazy.
And we can even talk after about the ending, that unbelievable closing number.
Crazy.
It was a holy experience. It wasn't just, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so we had conversations, and she wanted me to sing something gospel. She's like, I want you to sing something gospel. And so she had suggested, do you know this song? Do you know His Eyes on a Sparrow? And oh my gosh, in my home church, that is like one of our most known selections in church. So of course I'm like, yeah, especially for me, the Lauryn Hill version. So the rendition of His Eyes on a Sparrow that I guess created in my own way was based off of Lauryn Hill's version from Strack. So I guess for me, it was a place of grounding, and it was a place of a very humble moment for me, because it's not often that, especially in the world today, where you can go and take your talent. And even though I sing, I guess you could say like secular music or R&B, for your talents to take you where you can still also give homage to things that created such great morals and values into your life. Yes. It's such a humbling moment. And it was such a humbling moment. And I didn't take it for granted, because this is the third time that I had performed in Massey Hall. But it was the first time I performed by myself at Massey Hall.
Wow.
And there's something so wholesome for me anyways, that the first time that I performed by myself in Massey Hall, it was a gospel song. Like, I think that is such a full circle moment for me. And I just wanted to display love during that performance and vulnerability. And I wanted the listeners to also feel what I was feeling myself, because as I was ministering to everybody else, I was also ministering to myself. So it was an absolute pleasure to sing that particular song.
Did you feel the audience's absolute love of you as you sang that song and as you finished that song? Because there was something very magical that happened that doesn't always happen, right?
That's so funny that you say that. I love to feel energy and to feel people's vibes, especially when I'm on a stage. I love to feel that people are actually in the experience with me, because they absolutely should feel in the experience with me. We should all share this one space together, and whatever we can create in that moment, let's all feel whatever that emotion is. Let's all feel it together. And I'm very big on, I want to be authentic in everything that I do, especially my music, because music is one of the things that universal, no matter your background, your language, that we can all come together and experience together. And it's a very magical thing. We can dance, we can sing, we can cry, we can laugh. Like, music is just something that's such a universal language for us all. And so I think it was also a moment in the show where it was very stripped. It was a very stripped moment in the show. And it was quiet.
Yes,
it was a very quiet moment.
Yes.
And it felt very delicate. And so before I go on the stage, doesn't matter if I'm singing R&B or if I'm singing gospel, I always say a prayer before I go on stage. And I'm like, whatever the listener needs to feel or is coming here to get out of the night, like, I hope that I can be used as a vessel so that they feel whatever that is that they're coming here to feel. And I felt a lot of love. I felt a lot of love. I felt a lot of emotion. And with that, because for me, like, singing is such a physical thing, an emotional and a mental thing. As I was continuing to sing, I think it was just kind of making me sing better, because I was feeling everything in the room.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So,
the expression, when you sing, you pray twice. Like, I felt we were praying, everyone together, because of you. And
absolutely. Absolutely.
Well.
And I felt it. I felt it as well. I felt it as well. So I love the human connection there. I love the human connection.
It was awesome. I've never forgotten it, Haley. Honestly, I was in my mind. I thought, I have to have this beautiful singer on the show. What did it feel like to be on the stage that night? Like, after that performance, were any of your family members there, or did they see it afterwards in video, or how did that all go?
So my husband was there and two of his friends were there, but my parents were on the phone with him. They're like, did she go yet? Did she go? Take some videos, take some clips, because my parents, I have the ultimate parents, shout out to my beautiful parents. I have four siblings, so it's a family of five, and three of us took an interest into music.
Wow.
And our parents completely pushed us all the way to make sure that whatever we wanted to do artistically, that we had the support. And so for that, not everybody has the luxury of having parents that support the arts.
That's right.
And our parents completely sewed into us and was like, whatever your dreams are, go and chase them and we have your back 1,000%. And it's very rare that still to this day, if me or my sister or my brother go out, that our parents are not trying to come. They are always present. They're always there. They're always with encouraging words. They always offer up a prayer. And it's such a beautiful thing to have. So they were there in spirit. Before I got on stage, I was on the phone with them. As soon as I got off stage, I was on the phone with them. So
yes, they were there in spirit. Thank God you've got that blessed video also, because it really, it's quite beautifully done. Whoever did that video, kudos to you, because they're not always, right? And
yes.
They did a really lovely, lovely job.
Yes.
So what do you like the best about performing with Honey Jam? I know we gave a little shout out to Ebony Rowe, who's wonderful, who's been on this show. What do you love about that experience?
What I love so much, like I always say, like I'm a girl's girl for real. I love the sisterhood. I love that all these beautiful ladies, different backgrounds, all parts of the country can come together for one purpose, and that's solely music. We come from different genres. We have different writing styles. Our performance are different. Some of us stand and deliver. Some of us are literal rock stars, and I love all elements of that. It shows just how versatile we are.
Yeah,
you know,
it's totally.
It's a concert that demonstrates just how important we are in society, where we need to take place, how we can take up space in these different areas, and why our voice is just equally as important as everybody else's voices in these spaces. And I also love that it gives a voice to the young.
Yes.
Because not everybody is,
That's
aged in the Honey Jam program. In my year, there was this young little girl who was about 14 years old. And I was like, this is incredible. Like, you're just a little baby. Like, you know, like you have your whole life ahead of you, but you made it this far. And that's so important. So we don't have many spaces like that that give us opportunities to grow.
Totally, totally.
You
it's
know,
sisterhood, like, right? It was. I also got the vibe of the sisterhood happening, right?
It's like, a real big sisterhood.
Yeah.
Yes. Like it's me and my Honey Jam year, we still have a group chat.
Wow.
Yeah, we still have a group chat. And when we're releasing music or we're lending resources back and forth to each other, we put that in the group chat. It still lives. So,
great.
You know.
So good. So good.
Yeah.
Shout out to all people involved. And
absolutely.
Again, like I just loved it. So since then, so this is a year ago, you've been really busy since that Honey Jam concert. You recently had a career-changing performance at the most recent ECMA, where you debuted four songs, as mentioned, from your forthcoming project, including your debut single, Fall in Love. Can you tell us more about your debut single, what it was like to record it, and just this whole new chapter?
Absolutely. Okay, so that single, Fall in Love, super funny story. So my sister, as mentioned in my bio, she's a singer-songwriter and also producer. Producer, well, like I say, producer extraordinaire. I'm a super fan of my sister Rini, and like, if I'm not going to be, who's going to be? So I have no problem fangirling over my sister. So I remember one day I was driving home from work, and I'm fortunate enough to have parents who also love music. And while I was growing up, they ate all of their favorite R&B around the house. And so because we are from completely two different generations, I like new school R&B. But when I was growing up, my parents played the 80s and 70s R&B, which I now consider the best era of R&B.
Yes.
There was no music like that music.
True.
And so I've always grown up with what we call in our house old soul. And old soul just means that you're young, but you have a love for older music. Like your music love is very mature, which then trickles over into like your everyday life. So my parents used to always call me so old, because I would be so young and I would be like knowing all this old music still to this day. My mom's like, how do you know more music from my era than I do? I'm just like, so I had that luxury, beautiful luxury growing up. So did the rest of my siblings. But I was driving home from work this particular day, and I was like, you know what? This was the first song that I had ever written as well. Fall in Love was the first song that I'd ever written.
Wow.
And I was driving home from work, and I was listening to a song called Weekend Girl by the SOS Band. And I was like, I want a song that feels like this. I want a song that makes me want to like move the way that this song moves. So I get home and I say to my sister, because our dad built us a home studio.
Wow.
Shadow Dad. We literally didn't have to leave the host to create music.
That's
and
awesome.
So I go to my sister. I'm like, Rainey, I want to write a song and I want it to feel like this. And she's like, okay, let's do it. So me and her go into the studio. My brother, we call it FaceTime my brother JR. And the three of us are creating this song together. And we produced it together. We wrote it together. And the three of us share it as our little baby that we created, the first song that we really created together. And we were shouting to so many different scenarios, like, what do we want this song to be about? And I was like, I want a love song. I want it to be about love. And then we're just like, okay, let's create this scenario. Like, you're at the club or something, and some, like, you're checking out this guy and XYZ. And it's just, it was too funny, too fun. And we just created this story that created this song that never really happened, but like we just bounced off ideas to each other back and forth, laughed through it, created a song, and now we have this baby. Yeah.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Haley, the first time that you stood and performed on a stage? I don't know if it was the very first time at age 4 or if it was in A Christmas Carol or the lead is Annie, but do you have a memory of that first time standing there? How would you describe that?
Yes, I do. Okay, I remember I was actually a part of my Sunday school concert in church. And so me and my bestie, Tiffy, she was doing a liturgical dance and I was singing the song called Because of Who You Are. And while I sang, she danced. And I just remember crying through the entire song from the start to the bottom. But I was like at the gentle age of 4 years old. But it was a very big song to sing. But yes, that's my first core memory of me singing was in church, 4 years old. And from that day until now, I have not stopped singing in church.
You have not stopped singing in church and elsewhere. Do you love musical theater? Because you've done a lot of musical theater as well. And now you're working with the symphony. So I think you sing in every way, in every possible way. And you can sing anything. So it's clear that that's the thing. But what about musical theater for you?
Okay. Honestly, musical theater literally changed me, and I can speak for my sister as well, changed our lives. We had an incredible music teacher in high school. Her name was Tina Gallant, and she poured so much into us. Like, she's the reason why my sister sings.
Wow.
She's the sole reason. She took us out of our comfort zone, and she taught us about vowel shapes when we sing, how to breathe, and also, like, coming from like a gospel background into something like musical theater, there's a lot of technique that has to go into musical theater. It's a completely different genre.
Different piece, right. Totally.
It's completely different. You have the dancing piece that also combines with the singing piece, but then also combines with the conversational pieces within the songs.
Yes.
You know, it's a lot of moving pieces when it comes to musical theater. You also have the costume changes and the in and out. But I think if I were to tell you, like, my favorite form of performances, it would be musical theater.
Really?
I'm obsessed with musical theater. I'm obsessed with musical theater. It's so rewarding. You put so much practice into studying to become whatever this character who you have to pretend to be for XYZ. And once you put the work, like, you do so much work, you're so stressed out, you got to learn so many things. And once you get to this point where you're now having to display this character on stage in front of this audience, once that's done, the breath of fresh air that you have, you're like, wow, I just did that. I just did that. Like, I never forget my first, not my Neptune debut, but when I did a musical, I did Hairspray, and I was the character Motormouth Maybelle. And before I was supposed to go on stage, I was like, can somebody go and get my sister and my cousin Micah? I'm like, I really feel like I'm going to have a panic attack. I was terrified. I was so terrified because it was my first musical where I had a crazy ton amount of lines. And I was like, what if my mind blanks? Like, what am I really to do at that point? Like, and I was just overthinking myself into like this crazy spiral. I was like, I need somebody to calm me down because I'm ready to go home. Like, I can't do this. And so they come back and they were like, relax. You put in so many months to get to this point. You've made it to this point. Believe in yourself. Trust yourself. Go out there.
Trust God.
Give yourself a good show.
Yeah.
You know, like, go out there and give yourself a good show as you'll give us a good show. And I was like, yeah, you're right. They're like, yeah, you got this. You've been practicing this. You've been rehearsing for X, Y, and Z. Like, go ahead and do it. You got it right there. And I did have it. But it's a lot. Very rewarding.
What was that curtain call like when it was all done and you did it and you accomplished it?
Just like you just taught me that. Yeah. Exhale.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
It's pure joy, isn't it? It's just something, something next level. What do you love about performing these days? Because I take it as different than performing as a little girl.
It's so different. Performing these days, I'm a very family-oriented person, and there's nothing I love more that I get to share the stage with my siblings. It's something about our connection and our energy that we get to feed off of each other, laugh about certain things that's going wrong during the show. Like, you know, it takes less pressure off of each other. Totally. Like, somebody messes up, we all look at each other and be like, what did you just do? Like, what are you doing? So it takes away some of the worry or some of the nerves. We're going together. We're doing this thing. Like, we're family at heart. We got love at heart. Let's just go in and give people what they come here to experience, you know? And that's literally like what we do at home. We bang around and make music all the time. And we just literally take that out of our home studio and bring it to people and watch them love it. It's a blessing and a half that we can do that. And we don't take it lightly at all. We take it quite serious. And it's just such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing. So these days it's like a lot more relaxed.
Wow.
A lot more relaxed. But I guess the purpose means a lot more. Because when you're first starting out in a music career, it's very competitive and you don't really know what to expect. But I'm only 27 years old and I'm already over a decade in this game. So I'm really kind of a vet here.
Totally. So you're so really lucky. You're so young and you've done so much. What do you have a great memory of singing Maybe or Tomorrow from Annie?
Oh my God. Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That was some of my favorite moments actually, because I'm highly afraid of Doug's, right? And so in Annie, we tried to have a real Doug join the show.
Yeah.
And I'm deathly terrified of Doug. So before the show was starting, me and the Doug had to have intentional bonding time before the show started, because he had already had a name that his owner was calling him. And then we had to somehow try to rewire his brain to call him Sandy. Like, okay, like, guys, if this goes rogue on stage, I don't know what you expect me to do, but I am over there. So I had to spend a lot of time with getting to know this Doug getting to know me. And during that show, we also had little small children involved in Annie too, which was made the experience so kid-like and so much fun.
That was great.
So Sandy was a part of that scene when I was singing Tomorrow.
Yes.
For he lasted two shows. Sandy went rogue. And I said, you guys, I cannot do this any longer. I can't do it anymore. So I remember the first two shows when the dog was involved in that scene when I did sing Tomorrow. It wasn't my best performance. I was literally terrified. But honestly, when Sandy left, unfortunately, he did have to leave the show. It was like, I couldn't wait to sing the song.
Yeah,
I couldn't wait to sing it. No. Yeah, I loved it.
You didn't
it.
Have
loved
to
it.
Mind the
it.
Dog and worry about the dog. You could just...
God.
That is hilarious. Haley, what's coming up for you that you'd like to share with our audience? Is there anything that's coming up or that you'd like to be coming up or that's...
Okay, I am in the process now of writing new music. I'm in the process of flipping my brand around. So it's probably going to be a new wave of what Haley represents. And all these beautiful things that's been transpiring in my life and now taking me other pathways. So it's going to be a full rebrand, doing some songwriting, getting some new songs in the world, and starting fresh.
I love that. Will you come back
Yes.
on when you have this new thing,
Of
product,
course.
song, single, whatever it is, EP?
Absolutely.
We'd love to have you back to tell us about that. There's a question we ask everyone at the end of the show, and of course, we're going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Haley Smith?
What is bliss for Haley Smith? Bliss for Haley Smith is becoming a better version of myself every single day. That's been my motto for the past, I want to say, 3 years. Growing, and through your growth, starting to glow, because it happens.
Nice.
Being intentional about every single thing that you do, holding yourself accountable,
yeah.
seeing your mistakes and not letting them define you, but continue to pick your feet up. I always just tell myself, there's nobody was coming to save me. I had to save myself. And the day I decided that I was going to save myself, I saved my life. And so bliss for me is continuing to fight for myself every single day to be a better version of myself, that I give the world the best version of me. And yeah, just walk in that bliss.
Awesome. Haley, what's the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media, and of course, to listen to your beautiful music?
You can follow me on my social medias. It's always Haley.Smith, always Haley.Smith. And you can see my link tree and get all kinds of little insights on what I'm doing and how I'm living my little life.
I love that. I love that. I want to thank you. It's actually really been an honor to have you. And I think you know that I really mean that, because I was there and I just said, my goodness, this woman, she is a talent and has a beautiful soul. And I knew that. And you do.
Thank you so, so much. And likewise.
Thank you, Haley. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll meet Claire Chen of Glow Up Moms. We'll be right back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And we're now joined by Claire Chen, founder, brand, and visibility strategist, as well as the founder of Glow Up Moms, a movement helping women redefine success through holistic leadership, legacy, and well-being. It sounds so great. Before we learn all about Glow Up Moms, let me tell you a little bit more about our guest, Claire. Claire has spent over 17 years shaping global brands in fashion and beauty, from Dior, YSL, and Armani Beauty to Reitmans and Aldo Group, all across London, Milan, Montreal, Vancouver, and now Toronto. Her career has really taught her the language of style and strategy, but motherhood taught her the power of self-reinvention. After navigating fertility challenges, IVF, and postpartum anxiety recovery, Claire discovered that true confidence isn't really about being seen, it's about being fully known. That awakening led to the creation of Glow Up Moms, which is more than a brand. It's really a movement that's redefining motherhood and leadership. Glow Up Moms was born from Claire's own story, her journey of resilience, reinvention, and purpose. And it's grown into a collective for career moms and leaders, founders who are ready to lead and glow with impact. Since 2024, Glow Up Moms has brought together 80 to 100 moms, founders, and leaders in Toronto, Canada for a day of inspiration, connection, and celebration. They've hosted two sold-out Moms Glow Up Expos, supported by partners including RBC, TD, and Shark Ninja. And what really began as sort of a local gathering has really evolved into a growing ecosystem empowering women to rise as leaders create wealth, and build meaningful communities. So now they're heading into their third year, 2026. It's actually happening, guys, tonight from 5 to 10. You can still get in on it. June the 6th today, 2026, and it's happening from 5 to 10 p.m. Mums Glow Up Expo is more than an event. It's proof that when moms rise together, they create movements that really last. Today, Claire blends her mastery in image psychology, color theory, and brand strategy to help women founders, executives, and creatives step into their most magnetic presence, one that feels aligned, embodied, and deeply authentic. Claire's mission is clear. It's simply to help women rise from invisible to unstoppable and from potential to purpose. Because when women glow, the world grows. Claire, congratulations on all of this and welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you so much for having me. When you were going through Olo's past and then till now, and we're moving for Glow Up Moms, it literally gave me lots of goosebump moment and it brought a lot of joy and pain and tears all at the same time. So thank you. Thank you.
I love that. You're so welcome. So well deserved. Claire, can you just tell us briefly what inspired you to start Glow Up Moms? Because it's a really powerful community. What inspired you to make this all happen?
So 2024, when I became the first-time mom through IVF and didn't have much clue what motherhood really meant. And then when you started also relocate and define this new identity at the age of 41, I think it was just a lot of confusions and really understand where do you go next? And I didn't want motherhood to define me because I have been always driven. Career has been one of my priority that I invest so much. So throughout my therapy with postpartum and then recovering while I was doing a lot of self-help, heard lots of women. And often when women step in motherhood, the first few years, they often carry a lot of guilt, a lot of shame that they are just so afraid to talk about. So I was just like, why does it have to be like that? And I decided, crazy enough, after 3 months, I gave birth during my postpartum. I had this wild thing. And I went through a heavy research. I'm like, what could something possibly to create a platform for women to really amplify their stories without actually holding them back? And it's not just about another business conference. What would look like if we tell the truth? Why do we share our vulnerable moments? And the fact is that women, we all go through something similar, a different season, a different stage. And what if we just all come together and everyone feel equally seen? And that's kind of how I started in 2024. And then fast forward through courage, and people have said to me how crazy it was because during postpartum, you still kind of figuring things out. But I just needed an outlet too. So I went and created this outlet. And the more I hear about women's voices, the more that we started to grow organically, the more I believe that it has a purpose. And when you start creating something from your heart, you know that you're building something no longer just for you anymore because so many women needed it.
Claire, can I ask you, you spent 17 years shaping global brands in fashion and beauty, like Dior and Armani and Rietmans and Aldo. What did you do, for instance, for Rietmans and for Aldo? I love those brands.
Right.
What were the things? Because I see how fashionable you are just sitting here today.
And so I started my career as a makeup artist and I always just love fashions and it has always been something that was lifting me. And honestly, I never thought about entrepreneurship or motherhood. My goal has always really about laddering up with bigger brands, designer brands, and et cetera. And so throughout the years of working for cosmetics, and it really helped me to also sharpen that global and international when it comes to colors. So I love colors. And I think this is also why I find that sometimes women are just holding it back and they were so afraid of trying different things. And that also brought lots of experience back then when I used to work in makeup. Women would say, oh, I don't know about this color. I'm not too sure. It's too loud. And the whole purpose, even now creating Glow Up Moms, is all about breaking the cycles that women, we can strengthen ourselves And throughout the experience, of course, I continued my fashion journey. And then I went to Raymond because at the time, I think through personal reasons, relocate and then move to Montreal. And then you start everything over again. You learn French. And then slowly you found your food bag. So when I was working at Raymond, I was doing as a system buying. So that has also helped me more into, you know, from visual merchandising, from makeup artistry, and then into buying. And then slowly I got into outdoor, which I was doing product development. So it's really just really understand that how everything, it just has shaped who I am. I believe that everything has happened for a reason and really just kind of helped me to continue to build the Glow Up Moms.
So I knew you were a Montrealer because I'm a Montrealer and I spotted you the second I saw you on camera. I knew from the research too, but you look like a Montrealer. You're so well dressed, and everyone who's only seeing this, hearing this on the radio, she's wearing this gorgeous black and white dress with a beautiful sort of tangerine orange, gorgeous orange gold jacket that just pops. And it just makes you feel good. And so I know you really understand color, even from the way you're dressed today. So what can people expect when they come to the Glow Up Moms Gala tonight? It's happening tonight, June 6th, between 5 to 10 p.m. Guys, you can still get tickets on the website. And the website is www.glowupmoms.co.
We all need the glow. You know, I think every woman, every mom, we all need the glow at different time, different season, and every single day. But to kind of answer your questions, what people can really walk away when they experience the gala and the awards. So when I started the third edition, it isn't just about putting beautiful gowns. It isn't just about coming to attend a gala and another award. The whole purpose is I want women to really come and own their voice, having the power of not giving away. And I think most important that what we're really trying to redefine is have the permissions. And I think often for women, we have lived so long by giving the permission to other people. The fact is that we can actually start making the decision, having the permission, and really self-express who we truly are from the inner and outer, and live that liberty as we truly desire. And this is what it's all about, and tapping into our core value when it comes to inner leadership. How can we build more wealth for women that they don't have to struggle? And what does sustainability of building wealth means, and pass on the legacy to our next generation, but at the same time, protecting well-being so less women struggle with mental health from burning out. And at the same time, you're building that relationship, not just externally, but starting from your family, from your loved one, from your children, and within yourself. So this is our third edition. And our theme this year is where hope meets legacy. Because legacy means differently for everyone. And sometimes it's not about doing something big. It can be something so small that really represents who you are. And I think that's really enough. And I think the most important thing I want to share is that I think women, we sometimes put labels, we put timeline. But what if we stop taking all these away and you start to live your own timeline without external approval? And I think this is what it's all about.
That's amazing. So this event, I just want to paint a picture for people that are listening of what's going to happen when they come. It's taking place in the gorgeous venue, Floral Hall, at the Toronto Botanical Garden. What are people going to see and experience? Like, can you just walk us through what are people going to experience? Not so much the feeling, but what's going to be at the gala when they come?
Yes, absolutely. So everything is being curated with intention this year. We want women and guests that they come with a spouse, with their partner. And we want their spouse or partners actually be there because I think sometimes women, we do so much impact, incredible work, we forget to share. And it's important to also bring their significant other to see incredible work that women do, and not just as a wife or as the mom. And from the moment they walk in, there will be light painting. That's going to go for auction. This year, we also partnered up North Shore Women's Shelter. So part of the money that we raise will go to North Shore Women's Shelter to help women in gender-based violence and help them to rebuild life and for their children. There's going to be also the legacy wall, which is calligraphy. So women can come and actually choose a word that represents the season they're at. There's also going to be a live illustration as well. And then throughout the night, we have amazing speakers this year is really tapping to, again, awakening who you are, your voices. How can you own the power and then take on that leadership? We also have another great speaker, Haley, going to tap into become the CEO of your relationship. And of course, we're going to have another surprises. One of the speakers actually coming from Montreal as well. And she's all going to be talking about ownership. How can we invest in real estate in a very smart way? And there's just so much more. And then, of course, we have awards. The whole purpose about the award, it's really about recognizing women who are doing incredible work. It's really starting from the wellness sector, also the nonprofit, emerging leaders that are upcoming, and also women who are being in the industry and their story deserve to be seen and heard. And that's our Business Changing Legacy Award. And then of course, there's going to be some other thing. I don't want to share everything because now everyone's going to be knowing.
I'll just tell everyone that there are some great giveaways and there are some awesome swag bags that are very magical, fabulous things. And we have someone in common who actually told me about you.
Thank you.
Leslie Gottlieb, of course, the founder of Airpreneur. And I think she might be winning an award of some kind.
She's incredible. She's definitely incredible. Yes.
I'm so excited to hear all about that. That is so wonderful. So Claire, 2026 marks your third year and your most elevated vision yet. You say it's a year of expansion, bolder leadership, and deeper community. Mm-hmm. And it's really a transformative time for women. Can you say a little bit more about the transformation that you want people to undergo when they come to Glow Up 2026?
Perfect. When I talk about transformation, though, it's not just about like you're going to an event and then often every woman go to so many events and then, you know, you have that voila, wow moment and you feel good. That's motivational. You feel upbeat. But when we go back to our daily lives and we kind of feel self-doubts, how do you continue? But this is really about owning your powers, kind of go back to what we have shared. And then when I talk about the transformation is how can you really keep yourself accountable even when things get very hard? And the fact is that your story belongs to you. You cannot copy other versions. And then just really refine and refrain to the women who are in the room. We don't want you to wait because we often wait too long. And so the fact is like own your power, give the permission to yourself. If you've been waiting for something, this is a moment. Stop waiting, stop locking your dreams. And this is what it's all about for the night.
That's so amazing. You say that every woman needs a village, a circle that reminds her she's not alone in her dreams, her challenges, or her transformation. You also say that confidence isn't a destination. It's a daily choice. I love that. Can you speak about confidence? Because I think you've had to have a lot of confidence to keep reinventing yourself and creating all of this.
Thank you. That's a very interesting question. I would say confidence, you just have to keep doing hard things. And I've learned that throughout a lot of my own personal journey and experience from relocate, restart over and over again. And I think also the challenge when I was going to fertilities. And then I just think if you put yourself and challenge yourself to do some hard thing that you've never done before, this also continue to give you making that bolder decisions. And I also think that life is so short. You never know what could happen. And if you don't make that decision, you don't try it now, when are you going to do so? So I think that confidence really just take that action. And then sometimes just, if it fails, it's okay. We don't have to be such a self-critic about like, this is not good enough. And I think that's, again, a lot of women tend to do that a lot. So the confidence is like daily choice, doing things that scare you and can be very small. Doesn't have to be big. And voila, and this is just
the way I... To the other side, you go, I did it. And then you can go on to the next thing. You also talk about owning the spotlight. You say too often, and I love that you say this, too often women move from one goal to the next without taking a moment to breathe. And you would say, I used to constantly finish one thing and not pause before going on to the next. And this is so important. I say this to actors and singers all the time as well, as enjoy the show. Enjoy the moment after the show and the afterglow, that glow up after the glow moment. Don't just rush on to the next audition, gig, moment. Take a moment to just enjoy so much what you've achieved. Can you speak to that for a moment?
Absolutely. I learned that a lot through my corporate life. And then also, I think women, we tend to keep jumping to the next goal. Like, and often we have forgotten enjoying the process. And this is something I'm still practicing. So for example, doing the third edition, and I'm like, I have to be present. Things can get difficult. Things may not always turn out the way I wanted, but how can I be in the present? And instead of just already thinking about what's the next thing. So I think the spotlight is really on your spotlight, because no one gonna come and give you the spotlight. So you have to really learn to give yourself. No one sometimes not gonna come and applause you. So you have to find a way to find your own encouragement and just kind of keep yourself as a cheerleader. And I think this is what I really also want to share the message. I think women, we get so caught up and by society, and we just have to be constantly improving and keep going. I do one thing, now I'm sorry, like what's next? Perhaps just go back to motherhood. I learned that I have to enjoy the present since my son is a toddler stage. Yeah. And how can I actually be in it? And then while enjoying.
While you have it, it's so special. Exactly. It goes by so quickly and it's so important. You've also said that every glow up has its own story. What do you mean by that? Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. We'll be right back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, and I'm here with Claire Chen, the founder of Glow Up Moms. And Claire, you've also said that every glow up has its own story. I love that. What do you mean by that?
I think every woman have lived their own experience. So every woman is unique. Every woman has a story to share. And there's really no such thing as about comparisons, because at the end of the day, we all learned something. And I think when every glow up has a story, meaning you have a story to share and your voice matters. There's no such thing as who is minor. And the whole purpose is when we come together as a collective, we all get spotlight. We all glow differently. And I think this is really the purpose and the movement which really changing. Women can really see themselves and start shrinking in the room and finding a room that they really feel belong. And then by sharing their truth.
That's great. Well, tonight, everyone, is the Glow Up Moms Legacy Awards. And that's all part of the Glow Up Gala taking place this evening, Saturday, June 6th, from 5 to 10 p.m. at the Toronto Botanical Garden. To get tickets, you still can by going to www.glowupmoms.co. And there's a question we ask all of our guests at the end of every episode. Of course, I'm going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Claire Chen?
Bliss for me right now, I think it just continue to keep doing what I'm doing, finding all these little miracles every day. Lives do get hard, and then you have to really find those small little bliss in order to continue. And when things come so unexpectedly, you can still stand strong and just keep moving small little steps. And eventually you get to where you're meant to be.
You have a wonderful attitude, Claire. I'm so happy to have had you on the show today. What is the best way for people to get tickets for the event tonight, contact you? And how can we connect you on social media?
You can definitely connect me on Instagram, which is the easiest way, for our glowup.moms. And you can also find me on my personal account as well. It's Claire, C-O-A-I-R-E-C-H-E-N, Chen Consulting. So these are two ways that you can really get hold of me.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations on tonight. I can't wait to hear all about it. It sounds great. And congratulations to Leslie Gottlieb on winning the award.
Thank you.
And I just want to say thank you to you, because this was so delightful to have you here. We made it happen very quickly. You see, we both showed up, we got up, we made it happen, and it was fantastic. So thank you so much for being here. Each week, we spotlight fabulous people like Haley Smith and Claire Chen, who are living their bliss. So if you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. We also love to feature singers and musicians on the show. If you are one, just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I'm also the bliss coach. That means I help you get unstuck, find your passion and your purpose, and glow like Claire. And you can reach out to me. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I would love to thank our wonderful guests for being on the show today, Haley Smith and Claire Chen. Also, thank you to Meg Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, producer Lori Quinn, audio engineer Juliana Yannizziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. And as well, thank you to Garrett Flores for the gorgeous pink roses that adorn our set each week. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.